You know what's funny? Your pilot certificate never expires. It says so right on it, no expiration date. And a lot of pilots hear that and think it means they can just put it in their wallet and pull it out whenever they feel like going flying. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, right here on Radio Hangar, and today, we need to talk about the one rule that stands between that permanent certificate and actually being legal to use it. Federal Aviation Regulation 61.56, the flight review. Before we dig in, shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. Because this regulation is one that trips people up in some surprisingly basic ways, here's what the rule actually says. No person may act as pilot in command of an aircraft unless that person has, within the preceding 24 calendar months, accomplished a flight review. That review has to include a minimum of 1 hour of flight training and 1 hour of ground training. Let me say that again because the details matter. 24 calendar months, 1 hour minimum of flight training, 1 hour minimum of ground training. And here's a key phrase from the regulation. The review must include a review of the current general operating and flight rules of Part 91, and a review of those maneuvers and procedures that, at the discretion of the person giving the review, are necessary for the pilot to demonstrate the safe exercise of the privileges of the pilot certificate. Now, let me unpack what that actually means for you. First, the timing. 24 calendar months, not 24 months from the exact date, calendar months. So if you completed your flight review on May 15, 2024, you're good through the end of May, 2026. The last day of the month is your deadline, not the anniversary of the date. That calendar month rule is the same one you see in other FAR timing provisions, like currency for carrying passengers. It always works in your favor by a few days. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. A lot of pilots think the flight review is a test. It is not a test. There is no pass or fail written into the regulation. Your instructor is reviewing your skills, not examining you. Now, can an instructor decline to sign you off? Absolutely. If they feel you're not safe, they should not endorse your logbook. But the regulation itself does not use the word test, and the FAA has made it clear in advisory circulars that the flight review is intended to be an educational and proficiency-based experience, not a checkride. That said, let's be honest. If your instructor asks you to demonstrate steep turns and you can't hold altitude within 300 feet, they're going to want to see more work before they sign that logbook. So treat it seriously even though it's not technically a test. Now, the ground portion. 1 hour minimum reviewing Part 91 rules. This is where a good instructor earns their money. They're not going to sit there and read regulations to you for 60 minutes. A good flight review ground session is a conversation. What's changed since your last review? Are you current on TFR procedures? Do you understand the latest airspace reclassifications near your home airport? Have you looked at any new ADs on your airplane? Here's a practical tip. Before you show up for your flight review, go read through Part 91 yourself. Not every single section, but hit the big ones. Operating rules, right-of-way, weather minimums, equipment requirements. If you walk in and your instructor asks about VFR cloud clearances in Class Echo airspace and you stare at the ceiling, you're going to spend a lot of that hour on ground basics instead of the more interesting stuff. The flight portion, 1 hour minimum in the airplane. Your instructor gets to decide what maneuvers and procedures they want to see. This is where it gets personal. If you're a private pilot who mostly flies day VFR out of an uncontrolled field, your instructor might focus on takeoffs, landings, slow flight, stalls, ground reference maneuvers, and maybe some emergency procedures. If you're an instrument-rated pilot who regularly flies cross-countries into Class Bravo airspace, the review might look completely different. And here's something a lot of pilots don't realize. The flight review does not have to be completed in a single session. If your instructor wants to see more work in a particular area, you can schedule additional sessions. There's no rule that says it has to be one continuous appointment. In fact, the Advisory Circular on Flight Reviews, AC61-98, specifically says the review can be accomplished over multiple sessions. So if your instructor says, "Hey, your landings are solid, but I'd like to see your instrument skills next time," that's perfectly fine. You just can't act as pick until the entire review is complete and endorsed. Let's talk about endorsements. When you complete a flight review, the instructor makes a logbook entry. It has to include the date, the type of review, and the instructor's signature and certificate number. No logbook endorsement, no completed flight review. It's that simple. So make sure you walk away with ink in your book. Now, here's where 61.56 gets interesting. There are several things that substitute for a flight review. The regulation lists them right there in the text. If you pass a pilot proficiency check, like a check ride for a new certificate or rating, that counts. So if you earned your instrument rating 6 months ago, your flight review clock resets from the date of that check ride. You've got 24 calendar months from that practical test. Same goes for certain other accomplishments. If you complete a phase of the FAA Wings program, the pilot proficiency program, that counts as a flight review. A lot of pilots don't know about this one, and it's honestly a great deal. The Wings program lets you tailor your proficiency training to the kind of flying you actually do, and when you complete a phase, it satisfies the flight review requirement. You can find it through the FAA Safety Team website. Military pilots who have completed a military competency check also satisfy the requirement. And if you hold a flight instructor certificate and you've renewed it within the preceding 24 months, that counts too under a different section, 61.197. Here's a scenario I want you to think about. You're a private pilot. You got your certificate 3 years ago. You flew regularly for the first year, then life got busy. You haven't flown in 18 months. Your flight review expired 4 months ago. Your buddy calls and says, "Hey, beautiful day, let's go grab some pancakes at the airport two counties over." You fly, "I'll buy." What's your answer? Your answer is no, not today, because you're not legal to act as pilot in command. Your certificate is still valid, your medical might still be current, but without a current flight review, you cannot exercise the privileges of that certificate. Full stop. And here's the thing that scares me a little. There's no enforcement mechanism that prevents you from walking out to that airplane and starting it up. Nobody checks your flight review status before you taxi. It's entirely on you to know whether you're legal. That's the honor system that General Aviation runs on, and it works because most pilots take it seriously. Now, let's say you haven't flown in 18 months and your flight review has lapsed. When you go to get a new one, be honest with your instructor about your recent experience. A good instructor is going to adjust the review based on where you are, not where you were. They might want to do some dual work before they even start the formal review. That's not a punishment. That's good instruction. Taking a few extra sessions to shake off the rust is a lot cheaper than bending an airplane. One more thing about timing that confuses people. Let's say your flight review is due at the end of this month. You go fly with an instructor today, the 12th, and complete everything. Your new 24-month clock starts from today's date, not from the end of the previous period. So you'd be good through the end of May 2028. Some pilots try to time their reviews right at the end of the month to squeeze out an extra few weeks. But honestly, don't play games with proficiency. Go when you're ready. The Airman Certification Standards don't directly govern flight reviews, but a lot of instructors use the ACS task lists as a framework for what to cover in the flight portion. It gives them a structured way to evaluate your skills against a known standard. So if you're prepping for a flight review, flipping through the ACS for your certificate level is not a bad idea. It'll remind you what the standards actually look like for things like altitude and heading tolerances on maneuvers. Here's the practical takeaway. Your pilot certificate is permanent, but your right to use it is not. Every 24 calendar months, you need to sit down with an instructor, talk through the rules, get in the airplane, and demonstrate that you can still fly safely. It's the minimum. And I'd argue that if you're only flying with an instructor once every 2 years, you're not flying with an instructor enough. But the flight review is the legal floor, and staying above that floor is your responsibility and nobody else's. Check your logbook, do the math, know your date. This one's straight from Title 14 of the Code of Federal Regulations and the FAA's Advisory Circular 61-98, which is worth reading if you want the full picture on how flight reviews are supposed to work. More at radiohangar.com. Fly safe, fly legal, and I'll catch you next time on Traffic Pattern.